Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart.
We want to look at the key to it all. The key to understanding the Bible, the key to understanding God and man, the key that unlocks the door of eternal life. Hey, you want to get perspective, you want to understand God, you want to understand man? The key is found in the cross of Jesus Christ.
Is there anything that can be learned about the righteousness of God and the sinfulness of mankind through what happened to Jesus on a cruel Roman cross? We'll find out on this edition of From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Why would God give His only begotten Son? Why would He do that? Why does humanity hide from God rather than run to God? Those are deep questions that we're exploring in today's message entitled, The Cross and the Crossroads, from Pastor Jeff's insightful and revealing series entitled Perspective, Understanding God and Man. This series is also our gift of thanks to you for your support this month to From His Heart. You can get it on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive when you make your gift of any amount From His Heart this month. Just go to fromhisheart.org to make your gift and request Perspectives. First, though, open your Bible to John chapter 3. As we begin the third message in this series, explaining the significance of the crossroads that we face when we contemplate the cross. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin.
John chapter 3 is one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. It's the encounter of Jesus with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus, one of the most wealthy people in all of Jerusalem. Nicodemus, who was part of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body in Israel. He was a big shot, but he recognized something is missing in me. And he came to Jesus by night, and Jesus told him in not so many words that, listen, Nicodemus, all your religion is not going to do squat for you. You must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't get it, so Jesus went on and he began to give him some illustrations and some words that no doubt stuck in his heart. He says in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. We can understand God and we can understand man in the cross, in the light of the cross. So first, let's see that the cross reveals the true heart of God. We see the true heart of God in the cross. The Creator is going to become a creature and die on the cross. Now, four aspects of the heart of God seen at the cross. First of all, at the cross we see the love of God. For God so loved the world. Now, there is a problem that God has to address. Man has sinned against God. Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They wanted to be their own God. They were going to eat of the fruit so that they wouldn't need to depend upon God anymore. They would be like God, knowing good and evil, and they sinned. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned. And there's a problem with sin. Sin separates us from God. and sin separates us permanently from God, there's nothing man can do to fix that, so God is going to fix it. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's God who is motivated by his love. And God intervenes on behalf of man. Notice that it doesn't say that God was so angry with the world that he sent his only begotten son. God wasn't motivated. The cross didn't come about because God was motivated by wrath. God was motivated by love. Agape love, the highest kind of love, the love that says, I love you not because of, not if you do this or that. I love you because I've chosen to love you. And God so loved the whole world. You know what's so wonderful about the gospel? John 3:16 is called the gospel in a nutshell. It lets us know that God loves every single person. You know, anybody I meet, I can tell them with certainty, God loves you and sent his son for you, and Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. That's what John 3:16 teaches. I love what one person wrote about John 3:16. He says it's 12 of the greatest things. First of all, it's the greatest lover, God. And it's the greatest degree, so loved. And it's the greatest company, the world. And it's the greatest act that he gave. And it's the greatest gift, his only begotten son, his only son, his only beloved son, his unique son. And it's the greatest opportunity that whoever, and the greatest simplicity, believes. The greatest attraction in him, the greatest promise should not perish, the greatest difference, but the greatest certainty have, the greatest possession, eternal life. Hey, what do we see about God through the cross? We see that God is a God of love. Second aspect of God's character, we see that God is the righteous God. At the cross, we see the righteousness, the holiness of God. You know, the cross shows us that sin has to be punished. Some people think, well, why did God have to send Jesus anyway? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? It's because God is a just and holy and righteous God. That's why. It says in Psalm 89, verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. God is a God of love, and he's a God of justice and righteousness and holiness. And as Abraham said to the Lord, shall not the judge of all the earth judge rightly? Well, that's a rhetorical question. Obviously, God is going to judge rightly. And see, at the cross, we get a vision of not only God's love that he so gave his son, but God's justice and righteousness that he had to give his son. God had to give his son, and Jesus had to give his life. Otherwise, there would be no key that would open the door of heaven. There would be no opportunity for salvation. It says in verse 14, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, who knows the Old Testament extremely well, Jesus says to him, do you remember Moses when he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness? He said, just as that happened, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, that happened in Numbers chapter 21. The people were grumbling. They were in the wilderness. They hadn't gone into the promised land like God wanted them to. Why? Because of their unbelief. So they were wandering around in the wilderness. They did that for 40 years. And they grumbled and griped at God and at Moses and said, you hadn't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey. And we are sick of this manna that we have to eat. And the Lord heard their grumbling, as he always does. And the Lord was sick and tired of their grumbling and their sin. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And the serpents bit the people. And the people died. And when the people died, then the rest of the group said to Moses, "We have sinned against the Lord. Please intercede for us." So Moses prayed for the people, and God said to Moses, "This is what you need to do." He said, "You need to make a bronze serpent, a serpent out of bronze, put it on a wooden pole and lift it up before the people and tell the people, if any of you are bitten by the serpent, if you will look to the bronze serpent on the pole, you won't die. You will be delivered. You will be saved." And that's what they did. And when they were bitten, they looked at the serpent on the pole and they didn't die. They were saved from death. And that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's a must. When Jesus, in Luke chapter 24, when he rose from the dead, he walked on the road to Emmaus with the two guys, Cleopas and another unnamed disciple. And he's asking them, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" And he said, "Well, we're talking about what everybody's talking about. We're talking about Jesus and all the events that have happened this weekend." And Jesus was just kind of playing ignorant. He's like, "Oh yeah, tell me, I haven't heard. What things?" And so they said, "Well, you live in a corner somewhere? Are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what is going on?" And they began to tell Jesus. And Jesus says this to them, "Oh, foolish men and slow in heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer and afterward to enter into his glory?" I mean, that was a necessity. That was a must. That had to happen. Oh, why doesn't God just forgive sin? Why did he have to send Jesus? Because God is just and righteous and holy, and sin must be accounted for. Sin must be paid for. Sin must be addressed. God can't just overlook sin, because if God overlooks sin, then God is not just, and God is not holy, and God is not righteous. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 26, it's talking about the fact that men are sinners. It's talking about the grace of God, and it says this, "For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." So God is both just and the justifier. He is just in that he sent his Son, and his Son was willing to give his life, and God poured all of the sin of all of the world on his Son, and that was the justice of God, the righteousness of God in dealing with sin. And he is both the justifier in that God himself became a man and paid for all of the sin. That's what we see at the cross. We see the love of God, for God so loved the world. We see the righteousness of God. We see the grace of God. The grace of God is the unmerited favor of God. Some have defined it this way: the grace of God is God's love in action. It's loving kindness in the Old Testament. His love and his kindness come together, and it has an action. Scripture says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." God's grace. We see that at the cross, that God would give his Son, his only begotten Son, his unique Son. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of the Father came and said, "This is my beloved Son." And that God would give that Son to die on the cross. What grace. That the Son would give his life freely, willingly, give his life to die on the cross. You know, sometimes we get the idea that Jesus, he had the great sacrifice. The Father just sent his Son, and like he's watching TV or something while the Son's on the cross. Listen, any of you who have children, you know how much you love your child, and you know that you would much rather have something bad happen to you physically than have it happen to them. Don't ever get the idea when you think about the cross that the Father just sent his Son and it's like no big deal. Listen, the greatest sacrifice, as great as Jesus' sacrifice was giving his life, the greater sacrifice was the Father giving his Son for you and for me. And the scripture says concerning the Son, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. All of that is in the cross, the love of God, the righteousness of God, the grace of God. And then we see the mission of God through the cross. Verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world or to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. God sent Jesus for what purpose? Not to destroy sinners, not to judge, but to save. Jesus said of himself, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, he could have come in to judge, and when he comes again, he's coming to judge, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Jews got the first coming and the second coming mixed up. They didn't realize that there was a first coming. All they thought was there was a second coming, and the second coming to them was the only coming. And that's when the Lord comes and kicks tail and takes names and sets up his kingdom and rules with a rod of iron. And they said, that's the Messiah we're looking for. And they missed the suffering servant. They missed that Jesus would come as it was prophesied in Isaiah 53 and go to the cross. And they missed that completely. He came the first time to die for us in our place so that he could make a way for us to go to heaven by the power of his shed blood. Listen, at the cross we see the mission of God, and the mission of God is to save. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a teaching out there that says that Jesus only died for the elect. Baloney. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only Son for the whole world. John says in 1 John chapter 2 that Jesus didn't die just for the elect. He shed his blood for the whole world. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, John says, but also for those of the whole world. So Jesus loves every single person. Jesus died for every single person. Jesus wants every single person to come to him, but they don't. And that leads us to the second point. The cross reveals the true heart of man. Not only the true heart of God, but the true heart of man. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God, produced in God. We see the heart of man in light of the cross. What do we see? Well, we see that man is in serious trouble. That's the first thing we see. He's in serious, serious trouble. Verse 14, when it talks about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And John liked to use that word lifted up. He meant lifted up on the cross. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from the earth on the cross, I will draw all men to myself. Well, in that instance, in Numbers chapter 21, the people were bitten by serpents, fiery serpents. And the bite of a fiery serpent in Numbers 21 meant certain death unless you looked at the bronze serpent on a pole. Hey, those people that were bitten were in serious trouble. If I don't do something about this, I am going to die. It says in John 3:16 that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What does that mean, should not perish? It means you're perishing. You have to do something in order to not perish. If you don't do anything, if you just keep going the way you're going, you're gonna perish. You've been bitten by the serpent and you have the poison of sin in you, and the wages of sin is death. And everybody has that problem. You have it, I have it, Nicodemus had it, everyone has it. You say, listen, I don't believe in a God who would send anybody to hell. Well, newsflash, God doesn't send anyone to hell. You're already going to hell. The Lord is the one on the highway to hell that's trying to flag you down and say, hey, don't go here. Turn around. He's not wanting you to go to hell. He's not wanting to send anyone to hell. You are on the highway to hell. Your bags are packed, and that's the direction you're going. You say, how did I get there? You were born into this world. That's how you got there. Man is a sinner by birth, a sinner by choice, a sinner by nature, a sinner under the judgment of God. It says in verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already. He ends the chapter by saying that those who don't believe in the Son, the wrath of God abides on that person. You're in trouble, and I'm in trouble outside of Christ.
So what about you? Is the wrath of God abiding on you because you're right now outside of Christ? If you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins and to come into your life and become a child of God, then today is your day. He put you here right now, and the Holy Spirit's prompting you to stay until this point in the broadcast so you can have a clear opportunity to do just that, to surrender it all to our Lord for now and eternity. Just sincerely cry out to him from your heart. Repent and turn from your sin and put your faith in Christ. Surrender to him access to your heart today and abandon your own efforts to achieve salvation any other way. He'll come in, he'll save you, and you will never be the same. We encourage you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link to discover the blessings that await you as a child of God. Again, that's the Why Jesus tab at fromhisheart.org. Well, today's message on From His Heart was part one of the lesson entitled The Cross and the Crossroads from Pastor Jeff's six-message series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And the premise of this series is that we have lost our perspective of who God is and who we are. And because we don't have a proper perspective of Him or ourselves, everything is distorted and skewed concerning God, concerning mankind, and we have terrible problems in our society because of it. Self-inflicted problems, and the storms are raging, and our boat is taking on water. Why? Because we've lost perspective. Maybe you live in that world or know someone who does. This series can help right that sinking ship. It's called Perspective, Understanding God and Man, and it's our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. It's available in multiple formats. Just simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. Ask for the Perspectives series and find the answers that will bring you peace, power, purpose, and a place in heaven when you leave this earth. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be able to be here on Thursday for part two of the lesson entitled The Cross and the Crossroads. Here's a taste of what's in store.
Listen, man is at the crossroads between light and darkness, between truth and sin. It's never between truth and error. It's always between truth and sin. Hey, it's a question of darkness and light, sin and truth. And Jesus said, everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So here's the question. How do you come to the light? How do you do that?
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve then, when we'll again open God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.